exit. Have a great night. I tell people, have a great night. I'm a believer. I want to project the love of the Lord. God bless you, right? No matter what they say, right? I want them to leave at least thinking that they've had an interaction with somebody that has love in their heart, not only for their soul, but, you know, the love of the Lord, right? I don't want them even if they diss me, right? Like they say something nasty or something, I'm like, you know, hey, you guys have a good night, you know? I don't know what their night's going to look like. The Lord will take care of that. But, you know, I tell people have a good night. Some of the brothers that I go out with, they don't want to do that for fear that they say have a good night to a so-called Jehovah's Witness or something of that nature. You know, they don't want to take the chance of saying, hey, have a good night. You know, I'm sure there's those in the room that might have a sensitivity to that. But I just tell people I don't know what they are, who they are. I'm just trying to not be rude, right? The Lord was never rude. And so I try to just say, you know, hey, have a great night. Does anybody have any thoughts on this or anything that they might add? Sister Dorothy. How am I doing for time? I think I'm out of time. I think I only have one slide left. So, okay. With very
few things on it. I find, too, in the Philippines, personal concern for people work. For example, if I'm in a bunch of smokers, they have and the smoke. And if one refuses, everybody refuses. But then I advise them, and some of them may be on the vape thing.
Yeah.
So I would tell them, like, when you stop smoking, don't go back to it, okay? Mm. No, Mom, we're not going back to it. And now they want to take what you're giving because you're showing concern.
Yeah, praise the Lord for that. That's a good approach. I can't tell you how many times the place I stand in, Edmonton, on Friday night, a very difficult area. You wouldn't think it would be, but I'll tell you why. But I'm between where all the young people live that go to university and where they all go to party. And I'm halfway down the street between the two. So they're coming one way and they're all, you know, yoo-hoo, let's go party, right? And they're coming the other way on drugs and alcohol when they're heading back. So the one way, I've seen, just like that, where you have a group, especially young girls with one in the lead, maybe four or five young girls, one in the lead. And if she takes it, they'll all take one. If she doesn't take it, none of them will take one, except, again, I hope I'm not wearing the phrase out. I can't tell you how many times I saw that group go by and one young lady at the back, I see her, she's looking at me, she knows what it is, and she wants it. And peer pressure is so hard. She's just like, she's not going to take it. But at the last moment, I've had them reach back and grab it out of my hand and tuck it in their pocket before anybody else can see it. And I'm just like, Lord, you just saw that. The Lord saw that. And I just trust the Lord after the party's done and whatever else the night entails, that she wakes up the next day, or maybe even it could be the laundry day when she finds that, and that the word of God would make its way into her heart and soul.
Their body language. And then sometimes she knows that she has missed something. And you see somebody in the group. I give them one. If it's five, I give them five. And I tell them, I would say, just enjoy the
rest. Yeah, praise the Lord. So I think I might have one slide left. Maybe it's the end. The end is near. Yeah, just so there was some Bible tracks that I've been successful with, that How to Get to Heaven from Edmonton, North Carolina, and Georgia. I have, you know, Grace and Truth, you can always get many tracks from them. This is my own. I personally have had good success with these. I really like the one, How to Get to Heaven from Edmonton, in particular when I'm there. The night translates to, at about midnight, thousands of young people standing in lines waiting to get into a bar. There's many bars in the area that I go to, and there's literally thousands of people. Like, maybe one line of young people will be maybe 300 or 400 people, two or three deep on the sidewalk, right? right? And I just will start at the front of that line, right where the bouncer is, you know, the guy letting them in and out of the bar because only so many people are allowed in. And I'll work my way down the line talking to the young people. And they get a bit of a chuckle out of it. And I'm okay with that. It's like, I'm like, how can you resist something that says how to get to heaven from Edmonton, you know? And they all get a chuckle out of it. And maybe that little group that's right in front of me there takes a bunch of them. And I'm just, you know, I say, hey, put it in your pocket, you know, and read it when you get a chance. Read it when you get a chance, right? And just trust the Lord, the Spirit of God to do the work with that. So that's just, this is, like I said, it's kind of a tactical thing. And I'd love to email this if this can be helpful to you. I also have another little Word document, a distributable that I'll hand out typically with anybody that I'm going to go hand out Bible tracts with, that has verses of salvation, affirmation, you know, just to help you quickly get somewhere if you need to. So just a bunch of helpful verses for different scenarios when you're interacting with somebody. I'll tag that onto the email that I send you as well with this deck. Don't miss an opportunity to encourage believers. You're going to run into them when you're out there for sure, right? And of all sorts, shapes, and sizes. People that are down and out. I had one young lady, and the Lord, you'll be surprised what the Lord will do. I had three people coming along, two men and a young lady. She was, I think she was about 24 or 25. I'm not good with ages. Anyway, I handed her a tract. And as she was coming along, she said, oh, you know, I actually trusted the Lord when I was young. And then the two men with her, I would have expected them to just stay right there. Like, you're not going to, you know, interact with this lady that's with us, right? But I know, I really feel that it was of the Lord that they got concerned with this really cool car that was parked there right at the curb for like 40 minutes. These two guys just left her with me right there on the street corner for 40 minutes. And they were just consumed. And in the back of my head, I'm going, thank the Lord, man. You know, the Lord is, they're busy. And whether, I don't know if it was, they're busy. And here I am able to talk to this young person that had given their life to the Lord, but that wasn't living for the Lord. An encourager in the Lord. And after that, like at the end of the 40 minutes, it still amazes me that those two guys were enthralled with that car for 40 minutes. I got about 2 minutes span for a car, no matter what it is. But I was in the auto industry for a while, so maybe that's it. But anyway, they were enthralled with it. And here I am, a meaningful conversation. And that was for that night, that young lady was the one. And she left. We prayed together. We literally sat there and prayed together and then gave each other a hug. Again, this is just like on the street, right? People walking by and everything. And, you know, she said, you know, I've just never had something like this happen before. And I said, neither have I, right? You know, but I'm so thankful to the Lord. And, you know, like we need to, you know, where are you going to go from here? What are you going to do, right? And she said, well, I know that the place that I used to go to church is, it's just not that far away. And she had purposed in her heart there as we prayed together to get back to going to church. And I just thought, you know, that there's just people need the Lord, right? There's a soul in there. Brother Tim, time probably, right? Yeah.
Down and out neighborhood.